BJ, Bob. What's wrong? Yeah, what are you thinking? There. I just hacked his mind. Did you see
that? I have a question. I want to post in the spot.
What was the reading?
Alright,
screw you. I'll do it.
No, I'll do it.
It's too late. You lost your chance.
Okay, I got it. It's about persuading computers as persuasive social actors and tools.
Yeah, we read two of these chapters. We read 3 and 5, I think.
I thought we had 3 and 5.
Yeah, the last one is... The last one, chapter 8, is for a different week.
Oh, okay.
Mobility and connectivity.
We're really talking about persuasive social actors and tools for computers. And, I wanted to ask the class a question, just to make it relevant to ITP right off the bat. You know, we're talking about different ways that computers can be used as persuasive tools, and then how in a social context, or as social actors, you know, the guy screaming at his computer, treating it like it's a person. And there are many different instances where it's obvious that a computer has a changing role in our lives. And I think the nature of that change is not arbitrary. I think, you know, computers are being made to be more persuasive as a medium, and also the content that's being made that you get through them are specified, etc. I'll let you guys talk about it. But the question is really simple. For one, I mean, do we not want computers to become more accessible and relatable to us and how we use them? I mean, do you want an error message to say error number 406, 332, or do you want it to say, hey, you pressed the right button wrong. Why don't you try button T or something like that?
I'm a little lost. In other words, what you're doing is saying, you're thinking, let's not worry about whether computers are influencing us towards one sort of set of behaviors or another. You're saying, shouldn't computers be more, speak like we do?
No, I'm saying, I mean, just because that, right there, that's a bunch of, just the way the computer relates to you, a bunch of his, like, tools that he talks about, you know, you treat the computer as a personality, so whether it's dominant or submissive, you know, dominant people like to deal with computers that are dominant as well, and you have a better feeling from something that you think is similar to you. And so I just wanted to throw the question out before you even talked about the different ways that computers are persuasive as tools or as social actors. You know, what do we want out of this? Do we want to treat a computer?
Do we want to anthropomorphize
yes,
the computer?
That's the right word.
Do we want it to be like a person or not?
Right. That's the first question.
I think it depends on who's using it, right? I mean,
I think it's dependent on whether it gets the job done properly. I mean, I can think of.
You just get so military sometimes.
Hey.
I love that. Well, it gets the job done.
I think about the job done.
You know what I mean?
Mission
accomplished. Job done.
Well,
excellent. Outstanding. Got the job done.
Whenever you call in to the automated telephone services, and they don't interpret what you said. You know, I don't care if it's a robotic voice or if it's a friendly voice, you know, more humanistic voice that's I'm conversing with, as long as I can get to the information that I want to as soon as possible. So
I think that's an argument for making it more, creating a message that you can relate to more.
I think
he's
saying
say
no. He doesn't give a shit about the relation. He wants to hear the numbers I'm saying. In other words, if it says, what's your account number? You go 1349617. You don't care if it goes, does not compute, or if it goes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I could hear him. He just wants to hear him.
Naturally, I think that like a human voice would allow for more. I mean, you can convey emotion with a human voice, so you'd be able to persuade something, you know, or someone more with a human voice.
Wait, isn't that the whole premise of tailoring? What he calls tailoring through language? Like the computer saying, giving you an obscure answer versus giving you an answer that you understand? I mean,
there's a difference between understanding and empathizing, right? I can understand the computer if it says, please input your credit card number. Or if it says, hi, guy, give me your credit card number.
And generally, they want to customize it.
That's not clarity we're talking about there. It's something else.
Right, right. So you're saying you just want the thing to work. It doesn't matter how it comes out. You just want it to work.
I think from our end, that's all we're looking for, really.
Yeah, do you care if you're talking or if you're allowed to punch in things? I mean, supposedly hearing his voice makes me feel more like a talkative person. I don't care about that. If they're going to force me to not actually speak to a real person and go through a whole series of menus, I'd much rather punch in the numbers and get there quicker than have to same thing over and over again
right,
in order to do something that's more human.
But if you remove the whether or not the functionality is there and it functions properly, and then it's like you're given the choice between two companies to do your banking at, and they're both exactly the same except for one has like a more personal sounding computer voice on the phone, and the other one has like a less friendly voice.
I have to do all my
Yeah, but it depends. Which do you like and which do you resent? When I go to an ATM machine, that the language on it will say, if I want to take out $100, and if it says, I am working on it, or I'm working on that request, I don't like that. Because it is not an I. Who are you? I'd rather it say processing or working. You are a machine. No, there is no I there.
Washington Mutual's language is really cool. It's like, sure thing, no thanks. Like, those are the choices that I'm saying. It's making me say that to it. It's like, do you want more money? Sure thing, no thanks. Like, I can't say that.
Now you're speaking Washington Mutual, the same
right.
way Starbucks lets you come in and say mocha grande instead of small coffee.
What?
They insist on saying medium or large.
Yeah,
because they're creating a culture. A culture has its own language. Read cult branding. And once you have your own language, then you slowly draw people in.
I think Washington Mutual is interesting because I've known people who've like lost their cards or had stolen, and like they're awful when you actually have to deal with them in a person. Like,
I found that not to be true, actually.
Oh, I've had several people, and they've had everyone I've talked to like lost their card or something. Said it was the worst banking experience. Like they never got their money back, basically. Whereas, somebody steals your card, takes out money.
Let's go back where he is. There's technology with the human face. I mean, it starts with, 1984 or 1983 when the Apple computer, and you turn it on and the smiley face comes up, and that's saying, no, this is not DOS machine, this is your friend, your thing.
Because
that's one whole plane.
I was trying to find when some part of it rings, he says, like, even if we don't want to do it, it's happening. Because people are related to the computer in a different way. And I remember when I was in Mexico before coming to Nashville, like a year or two before coming here, there were two or three different emails going around. Like people were just sending each other because it was funny, which was a revised version of Our Father, the prayer, for instead of praying to God, it was praying to the internet to work and to have a good connection. And then the other one was a story about, like, a guy telling a story about a girl, but it was not about a girl, it was about a computer. So, but the thing is that's the way you relate to computers, and a lot of people in here and there, they put stuff in the computer, you tailor, you put different backgrounds, you do all these things with your computer, you personalize it, people keep names, pet names to the computers.
You name your hard drive.
Yeah, and you're giving it like human, how do you call that?
Anthropomorphizing it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons. Some people do it out of technophobia because it's holding such valuable stuff. It's like you want to do a little magical thinking on it.
Or what about the way actually computers relate to each other, not just the like in an anthropomorphized way? Like, have you guys seen the Aibo? When the Aibos play together, the Sony dogs. The little dogs, they're like pets. They're computer pets.
Yeah.
They're amazing. I mean, like, they are completely anthropomorphized.
They actually love each other.
they told me so. But no, I mean, the way that they behave, it's creepy, but it's fascinating.
But ultimately, that's for your benefit. I think the one hurdle that computers have is that they don't have emotions. You can have somebody try and program emotions into a computer, but it's ultimately for our benefit. I mean, I could set my computer to talk to me. I actually did it once, and it gets really annoying, And the other thing is, it's like Nintendogs or one of those things. Do I really want to mourn like the death of my little Japanese keychain pet when it doesn't really even exist?
Yeah.
Well,
you don't, but like lots of people did.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of crazy about it's really not
more than a couple
that unusual.
Well, Tamagotchi is a great training. If you want a society of kids who take care of their technology, start when they're three. Give them one of these, and you're going to slowly. Then they're going to love their cell phone, and you're.
I guess what it sounds like a lot of people are saying at least is that in terms of these persuasive tools or whatever, functionality is the most important thing when you're dealing with the computer. You want to get the job done, and then however that job is packaged, you're saying is less important. But I'm going to just. Okay, so let's assume that functionality is working. Let's assume that the thing is working. Because I want to focus on the persuasive part of it. At ITP, for example, there's a huge, Mac Windows culture, Mac versus Windows culture. And I just wanted to throw out there, let's critique ourselves in terms of the functionality and where Mac is and where Windows is now, how the operating systems work.
Do you think that there the difference?
Do you think what fuels the culture split is still the functionality primarily, or is part of that the persuasion of the branding itself and the way that Windows presents itself versus the way that Mac presents itself?
My decision was, I don't like the image of PC. I've always loved the image of Mac.
Image.
I work with both computers at the same time, Mac and PC.
When you say image, you mean brand image or the
brand
image they create?
Brand image. I work for like 3 or 4 years. I was working with both computers at the same time because I was doing websites. So I needed to make sure that the website was running both computers. And I had the latest whatever blah blah protection antivirus and blockers and whatever. But I always have problems with the PC. And with Mac, I've never had a problem with Mac with that. And PC was always it was either me trying to spend 2-3 hours per month cleaning up all this crap, and then having people call me all the time to help me fix their computer. So for me, my decision was a lot of functionality and just the branding, the design of the Mac look and feel. So.
For me, it's actually the personality of the computer which makes me dislike Windows machines. Because it's like with the Mac, very often I plug something in and it just starts working. And every time I plug something into or put a disk into the PC or open up an Excel spreadsheet, there's some little dude who comes out and starts talking to me. And I don't want to relate to that object that way, It's like I want it to work. I don't want you to tell me, oh, well, here's some steps you can do to make this work, And, now the question is, if I'm going to have to deal with those steps, am I happier that there's a paperclip talking to me as opposed to just a little window with, some pixelated text? Probably not, but it's the fact that it's there and it wants me to relate to it, which makes me hate the PC.
But this is interesting, because this is where packaging actually affects the functionality, because exactly like in Windows, a lot of times things are super step by step, and that's what people look forward to. You put it in, and it says, boom, this is what you can do. What would you like to do with that? Whereas with Macs, and I work on PCs, but I don't care. I don't have some hatred for Macs or anything. For me, it's actually kind of amusing how much people are find this affinity towards it. But for the example you're saying is, that's an example of how their personality has changed the functionality, right? And the personality is developed mainly as a persuasive device. That's why you develop a personality for the computer.
Right, so they test a zillion characters, and then they say, people seem least threatened by the paperclip man.
But for Windows, they know that paperclip man has to give someone, when you plug something new in, it has to pop up and give you five options about what to do with it. Whereas the Mac people know when you plug the thing in, you just want it to work.
That's the way that you want to think about it when using it, which is the first thing you brought up. Like, we brought up a lot of things that were mostly a discussion of whether it's good or bad design in terms of anthropomorphizing the device. And so on the Mac side, like, a lot of it is just that, you know, in a lot of cases, I don't feel like I have to think like the machine. And on a PC, I have to think like the machine. And sometimes that works really well for troubleshooting and fixing some things. Or on a Mac, if things go wrong, I don't find it as easy to get in and fix them because there's a mode that you go into to do them. And it's just so they don't notice more. But I think that that's part of it in general. And the first thing we brought up is that the way that we attach to things, if we're social beings and that's what we do best, then if it can match social structure, social ways of thought, then that's successful. And that's the way to make a connection. And I'm all for that in design, a machine or a device that matches social convention unless you get things done.
But the article is saying that people can't put something like themselves, so it's like, you know,
so we should design things that are done.
But why is Windows popular?
That's a whole other story. The evolution of how that happened, and why people like it better or not, is a lot of it has to do with legacies and what you use. And QWERTY is not the best keyboard. You know, you can go back a long way. What I'm interested in are the things that we don't have choices over, like your the two sounds on pretty much any mail program. If you have the sounds up. You get mail, it's a happy sound, and you don't get mail, and it's a sad sound. At least subjectively to me, the happy sounds are like zing, or you got mail, or ta-da. And even Eudora says sorry. You remember the old Eudora? It would say sorry, no new messages, and a good, you know, or in Eudora, it's a thump. Does that condition you?
You hope it would just go. No news is good news.
Exactly. I mean, I do at this point, because when all the mail's coming in, isn't that such a luxurious feeling? Have you ever gotten through all of them and had an empty inbox? You haven't in years, but just the fantasy even of getting an empty inbox and then hitting get mail and it's staying gone, it's like, wow, there's nobody asking anything of me right now. Would be a good thing. Instead, on the other hand, it's like he has Quicken as the example, where when you balance your checkbook, it says, it's congratulations and throws balloons up, and he goes like, ta-da, like sort of the guy in the Macintosh puzzle. And that's because the value system of Quicken, a checkbook program, is to balance your checkbook. So I guess you're training yourself to, part of the reason you spend $80 or whatever to buy the program is because you want to be better at.
It's kind of like when Ken Perlin came here to speak a little while ago, and he makes all these, he's over in the computer science department, and he makes all these games, and he puts them on his website just for public use, and he made a game that once it was completed, it didn't have an end to it. He didn't put like a you won or congratulations, nothing. And he was getting a ton of emails from people complaining, saying, I beat your game, but there's nothing there. So he went back and he fixed it so that the game gave some kind of, thank you or you've won, and he stopped getting emails.
So Mario does his little dance at the end of the thing.
I was thinking it's funny because I think it's a commentary really on that people don't really understand anything about computers more than anything else. And also the way that people tend to use computers. Like I read that there was a study in the early dot-com boom where they did some focus group on what did the actual people actually do? Like 70% of the time in front of the computer, they move files around, and they just sort of stare at things.
Those were in the early days when they had people were spending as much time customizing their desktops as they were using the programs. But now people actually have work to do.
Well, that's only partially true because, for example, my roommate spent $700 on his Dell laptop. What does he do? He downloads music from the iTunes music store. He occasionally searches the web, and he gets email. So he paid $700 for something to do with the cell phone.
Yeah, my mom does the same thing. She, does her pictures on it and, sometimes emails, and she thought she needed a laptop.
The whole idea of persuasive technology, people are buying this as, oh, I need to be modernized.
It's a potential machine. You have the potential to do lots and lots of work.
Right.
that you bought a really fast processor because at some point you're going to be doing 3D programs, even though right now you're just doing Excel spreadsheets.
And
that's
like you're going to get into that Unix shell, really.
Yeah, totally.
That's start reprogramming that puppy from the inside out.
Computers are persuading us to become more and more complex.
No, the marketing of computers.
What's that?
The marketing of computers.
No, like the people are buying more power than they could possibly
right.
use. Except
the SUV
the fact that you
culture.
Still are trying to stream something, and it's not quite there. You know, it's for all its power.
Well, and I also think it's funny that like things like I remember when eBay really blew up. Like people were running out to get computers, like, oh, I can buy shit and sell shit. You know, like that wasn't like been a big factor, like plugging you into this service. You know.
Right, and ultimately to buy and sell computer stocks or something, you know, buy and sell computers.
It's the same culture that creates what we were saying before, like with Netflix. Like, you buy potential, and that potential is enticing, but a lot of times you don't evaluate whether you need that potential or not. I don't need to
it's
watch
the, it, you buy the option to have it.
Oh, that you could.
I don't think it's the potential. The option to have it.
It's like buying stock options. It's like you're kind of hedging your bets on the future and hoping everything works out. And at the end of the year, your per movie price was less than whether you went to Blockbuster. And if you went to Blockbuster 6 times a year, you spend a total of $25, you feel better about yourself because you spent $200 on Netflix, but you got a better price per movie than you would have.
But you didn't get to walk outside and meet those cool people.
At Blockbuster.
On the way.
On the way.
Maybe. To change your first album of your existence. I'm so reactive to that one.
What did everybody think about this?
Go.
What did everybody think about, you know, essentially he's codifying, you know, persuasive. Kind of like a very obvious things. I don't know if anybody else felt like, yeah, like, duh, you know. But I think he's right about a lot of this stuff that he was making rules on. But did anyone sense any gaps, or would anyone have categorized things differently? Not purposely, that's this way.
I mean, there's the thing that was almost quaint is the simplicity of human beings in relationship to these machines almost seem quaint to me. If you flash up this thing, the person will be happy. And chances are the person sitting in the cubicle doing their job, and then it goes, ding, you're good.
Well,
you know?
The flattery thing, but that was incredible, wasn't it? Doesn't even if you know that it's fake, yeah. It still makes you happy.
It does.
Like, that would probably work for me too. Like, I can't even pretend that I'm more sophisticated than that. I'd be like, yay.
Oh, yeah, you always know, you know, flattery. Most of the time you know it's fake, but it's still nice, right? Like, all right. Well, at least they're taking the time to pretend to flatter me, right?
This is like the same way when you get overused to that from dealing with real people, too. It's like you walk into the bank and you're like, how are you doing today? It's like, you don't care how I'm doing today.
Right. Or when you order, do you ever order wine in a restaurant? They always say, oh, excellent choice. And I'm like, ooh.
I just feel so good.
No, you're not going to order that,
yeah.
Are you?
That is scary when he's talking about the idea that you're installing a program and then they're showing you all these things, the whole idea of tunneling. That was the thing that was most disturbing for me because it plays on the fear that people have of technology. You know, you're installing this thing and it asks you information and then you're going to do cancel and what's going to happen next? Is only half of the software going to be installed? You know, and so you go and you give them that information, you give them false information, turns you into a liar, you know. In any case, something bad is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering...
Once you start, I mean, everybody has that. It's what I was trying to write about in the cult chapter of coercion. There's this moment in dealing with things where it gets uncomfortable, where someone who you don't trust is making you uncomfortable. I mean, it's one thing for your mate or your shrink or someone, you know, or a lab partner to make you uncomfortable, but that's the point. It's another thing when you walk into a situation, whether it's a salesperson or it's like, wait a minute, or a website, and then it's like, once you go over that, what do they call it, you know, barriers to entry?
Yeah.
That's what they're trying. I mean, that's persuasion 101, is get that person to do the first little thing that makes them uncomfortable, and then you permission market the hell out of them. I mean, then they volunteer.
Yesterday I went to, I had a box of Kashi, the cereal, and my wife's like, oh, there's a $1.50 coupon on it, you know, you just need to go to this website to do it. So I go there, and then it doesn't accept Mac. And then I go there with my PC. And then it says, oh, well, we need to install software on your computer in order for you to get the coupon.
Spyware for a Kashi?
So I go back to my wife and I'm like, there's no way to tell them. This is such bullshit. But then I end up doing it anyway. But it, like, I had to go through the entire, like, I went through all of it, and it's like, okay, we're not spyware, blah, 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 blah.
What was it?
It's for $1.50 off of, like, organic milk.
Yeah, but what did they put on your computer?
Some software that supposedly allows you to print it, you know, prints it automatically. You don't even see it pop up. I'm wondering the whole time, because I put coupons up for clients, you know, for them to put stuff up. And I'm like, what the hell is it, you know. But I almost, you're talking about awkward situations. It's like, they had like a you know, feedback form. And I was ready to give them hell. And I was thinking to myself, oh, great, I'm going to be branded as one of these assholes who just, you know, goes to all these things and complains about everything. So, it was good.
Wow, that's double triple.
What was the persuasion technique your wife used on you to actually go?
Actually, she said, oh, I don't care if you don't really want to do it. And I was like, well.
Guilt.
It's $1.50.
How much time did you spend for the book?
Yeah.
40 minutes?
Probably about 15.
So $6 an hour, man. I got some jobs for you.
Is that more than a wage now?
I'm going to give you my budget.
Did you all, of course you all did, found websites or examples online of things that were places that developers wanted. We should look at some of them and see if we can figure out which of any techniques they use. Who found one? You can. You're like...
You're it takes a minute. Awesome. Oh, yeah, it's not going.
Not yet?
No. There we go.
It was satisfying me, so that, you know, I mean, that's feedback, but that's not persuasion, right? Or is feedback persuasion? No.
Wait.
No, it's not. It's letting me know that I don't have to hit it again.
It's blinking softly.
Blinking softly is nice, so I don't smash it? What is it? Intrinsic and intrinsic motivation.
I'm sorry. I thought about the blinking softly so you don't hear it. I don't know if you've noticed when you put the Mac to sleep.
It breathes.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same rhythm of your breath when you're sleeping.
You know your Mac's alive.
It's because it's your
guy.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god.
That's
I like, oh, that's
my PC also.
Oh,
it's snoring.
No, it's
yeah.
not.
It doesn't last.
It's not
too
bad.
Do you want
bad,
my password?
Okay, what's your password?
Hold on.
What's that?
The password.
She got
is
this in the mail, and then it said to who?
Your password is on the reverse side of the letter. The secret
is
the
what?
My password is capital K, capital M, capital X, 9. Don't tell anyone.
The secret is knowledge. Receive free information. So they know.
Just
ask for
the what's the password again?
It was to me, yeah.
So now they know to come knock on your door. The Rosicrucian. What is that?
It's
like a pseudo culty thing.
Using salon.
I guess
it's like a Masonic kind of thing.
What's their deal?
It's a belief system. It's like it's sort of Masonic, but a little bit more intentional. But they didn't really start then.
You guys
are this is old. This is totally old.
Is anybody interested in going to an informational meeting with me? No, just kidding.
I would actually go, because I do visit you these
16
before. 14. They're funny.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So
you accept
the charters and reestablish the Rosicrucian order. That actually was the start of it, I believe.
I wish I knew who sold my address to them, though. I would love to know where, like...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Was
wow.
A city paying?
But the interesting thing is the idea of a password is fascinating.
But they didn't even hide the password as you were typing it in.
Yeah.
It's not even like really a password.
But even the whole design of this is like...
What happens
well,
if
it's not
yeah,
SSL,
as
there's nothing there.
But they did design
the
website
whole design
in
is
relation
like
to
based on this
mail.
Revelation of this. Yeah, totally.
It and you're back there. So they just want to make it feel secret. We get a little one piece of information about you. Who else found a website that used some technique?
I just threw one up there. Go to IDT.net because I worked on this one before going there. And
hi.
It's for fun. It's for fun. Like long distance guys. You go to learn a little more.
Well, if you came to this thing,
oh my god.
Get people into this thing is what they really wanted. Anyone coming to the site for the first time to land on and debate around it. And I just threw it there as tunneling. Your only way up is to either sign out up or find the details, but see the details really just takes you to something to log
replay
in to get the So either way, whether you're trying or not, you're kind of just still locked into getting information in the chain of plan. It's not the two evil in here where you get tricked into switching,
but it's this keyboard.
Oh.
You're not doing a good job.
I thought they'd all do that, right? Unlimited local distance is not available. Oh, this is it's the guy from Strindberg and Helium.
It's Helium.
Helium, yeah.
Hey, can we put in a different number to see if it just does it come to the same page as the network?
It's
Strindberg
and
Helium.
No,
I'm
doing that.
There's no service.
It's finding what it sort of caters what service offerings I have based on your area code.
Huh.
So. But I just went through it from the beginning part of just the intro, because it went back and forth on figuring out how to do that part to get people information. And it was more just like, all right, well, there's no way of, like, simple exit. Just go with two buttons of details or sign up and constantly do that and keep tailoring the language of people. So hopefully, when you go through this, you're going to find somebody in here to identify with. And,
I subvert it all. My computer knows. I break the spell and catch it.
Wait, Jack, did you know?
They don't answer to that.
Yeah, could you try Googling David Lynch meditation? I actually went to this really insane presentation by David Lynch.
Yeah, that's he's a TM person.
I just got an email from him.
You got an email from him?
He's a what person?
No, go back, go back. That's it.
Oh,
TM. Oh, no. Oh. He has a site. I can't remember. He gave us his card. It was the craziest thing that ever happened. We watched a student get electrodes attached to his head, a cap, and then a laptop, and they showed us his EEG. It showed how his brain waves were. Like watching the audience and then what they became as he was meditating. It was really weird. And they had this crazy PowerPoint presentation that had lines like, your brain is not a rock, it is a river.
Ew. Oh my god. Who else found this?
Go to Weapons of Misdirection website.
What?
WeaponsofMisdirection.com.
Oh, I
want to
search someone who hasn't spoken.
Yeah,
sorry.
Aya,
what did you find?
I didn't write down the URL, but I found a website that there was a test, like 50 questions, and we have to answer them, 50 questions. And the result says that you are this kind of person, and you will suit a good job with this one, and then we have to find that job at the website. It's a job search website, but before that, before job searching, we have to answer the question to discover ourselves. So I didn't write down the URL, but it was.
And then you're supposed to go use that answer to go back into their site.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of according to this reading, maybe it's suggestion technology, maybe.
Well, it's Tickle, like, I think it's Tickle.com, right? It has all the, like, are you a genius? Like, they do ads, and, like, it's essentially
what is Tickle.com for?
I think it's Tickle. Is it Tickle?
They usually do, like, you'll click on them when you're young.
Do you need
like,
a yeah, they
like,
do a lot
like,
of banner ads.
This was funny. I did this week.
What
this
is
my,
it? Is it a dating thing?
No, it's,
No, but what it is, like, in order to take the test, you have to sign up to receive email. It's basically like an email, like, honeypot, like, to get your email and, like, get you to agree to, like, to receive information from.
Oh.
It's like Flogo.
But yeah. Yeah. What's funny is
voluntary to be marketed to things.
Like,
then they want to start any form of content that people can then afterwards send to their friends, and in that they usually have some form of opt-in advertisement.
But then they want you to further sign in. So
take
the
premium
test. I did
that.
Right? I gave them my email. They sent it to my sham address. And then they start saying, this is what was funny. The first time they sent me a thing which said, you know, click, follow this link to get your IQ results. And then a day later, I got another email from them which said, follow this link to get your high IQ scores. And then the next day, they sent me one which said, follow this link to see your extremely high IQ test results. And they kept on trying to give me more praise, trying to get me to think like the results were going to be so good, I was going to go sign into their site.
Well, you're going to be told you have a high IQ.
Yes, it.
Crap.
Do that. So you take the test without giving them all your info, and you have to then give them like
to get your results. You have to have an email address for them to send.
We'll also have a website with some. Yes.
One went viral on MySpace and had here's the it's a movie. It went around. It's short, but it's somebody trying to market their documentary about where did the plane go at the Pentagon.
Oh.
And
is this the really bad flash one?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I know, I love when they're not just marketing ones, but they're supposedly lefty ones.
And it uses all the music from Fight Club. No, he's a college student.
Yeah, that's what the website says, but
He's just some rich guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's made his whole money. No.
Yeah, he wanted to pay for his loans or his school, he said.
No,
he said
he's
so he just, is it, you just would buy a Pixel just because you think it's
you
fine?
You can only buy them at 10 by 10. So
and then there's a link.
Well, why, so if you only buy it just because you think it's amusing, there's really no incentive to buy it.
Well, it's a link to your website.
It's
a mini banner ad. Oh, it's you buy an ad space.
He's basically doing a real estate trick where he's valuing a territory just by enabling you to buy it and then promising you that it's gonna do something for you, publicizing it. There's like a feedback loop. It's really smart idea. Yeah, very simple. Please. And it went virally spread through.
Nobody really found anything. Went to sites, you poked around.
Go to opusday.org.
What's it?
Opusday.org. opusdei.org. And then they have that, the Da Vinci Code. They come and try to prove that they're wrong.
Search out their songs.
Yeah.
To defend the faith. There's been like a whole battle about that in religious circles to try to convince people that that's not the truth and to try to pull
them
back.
Well, I want to see something in the actual composition of a website and where a box is.
Adsense.com.
Safe to be.
Yeah, Amazon.com. I don't know.
If you can find things, you go to Amazon, it's simple as that. Your gold box.
Personalized.
That's like direct. That's always directly in front of your face. Like that's like where they place that.
The gold box is one right there. I mean, gosh.
Well, every major website has this. It's like you can buy software today to do all of these services.
Everyone wants you to do something, right? You can find them. The only part of this page that moves is this. I think that the web is chock filled with influence techniques.
New York Times stuff comes in Spanish increasingly. First you just had to give them a sign-in, email, and username to be able to see some of the articles, and now as you start navigating through the articles, they start coming up that this one is a premium article that you need to give us some money.
Well, they're all trying to do that now. I still would have wanted to see more things, more, because it's constant. You can go away, but the web is chock-filled, just where things are, what color things are, how forms are put together. Sites that don't want you to leave. I mean, the stickiness of what are those called? Those pop-up banners when they start coming and you can't get rid of them. There's a lot of examples.
When you sell something on eBay, it's really fascinating because there's all these different things you can do. You can like make it bold. You can like have a picture on the front page, and they put a monetary value on every single thing. So that, and then they give you these stats on like. Your items in bold sell 25.
That's the first relationship technique, have the stats of compliance listed every time
you and they're also And they're also handing you like the persuasion techniques. You know? The fact that bold is like more expensive than putting a picture. You know?
Well, one more thing to keep in mind is that if you want to look at a great example of persuasion techniques, not on the computer, but as an analogy, you just look at ITP. And there's so many, this place is designed to keep us persuaded. I'm not criticizing it, it's what I want, but this place is one big persuasion of getting us to have an enjoyable experience and getting us to be smarter when we come out. And every single technique here, surveillance and conditioning and even the social computer as a social actor, they're examples of it here. Even in the Japanese or whoever is in the class.
Yeah, the difference is at least an intent, it's to promote
agency
and individual thought.
A good thing, but in terms of the understanding as a practice.
But it's a club with values. Okay, do the assignment this week. You have to.
If there's a do on there, you gotta do the do. You can't not.
Do-do?